support all of the truth that's found in all of the Holy Scriptures, starting with the book, the Holy Tablet, and the Torah, the five books given to the prophet Moshe Musa, straight on down to the book of Revelation, El Injil, and the Zabur, the books of Psalms, and finally, the Quran, El Quran. We make no distinction between any of them. They are all messages from El Elo down to his Elohim for you. We acknowledge all of the Elohim, referred to as Malaika, or angels by some, and know that they have come in the form of human beings to bring messages for us.
Give us that right now. Break it down. Break it down.
Shalom, 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 Listen, all you children of Israel, sons and daughters of Abraham. He is who he is, Yahuwah El Elo, and he is alone and has no partner. And you are to love Yahuwah by using your whole heart and by using your whole spiritual being and power.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Begin all things with the illustrious name of Allah, the Yield of the Most Merciful. What is meant by Ismi Allah, by way of using باللغة العربية, نحن نقول, we say, we اكتب بالقلب. We write using a pen. I know that there have been many translations by many American brothers who attempt to convey the meaning of the tasmiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but alayha tisata asham, over it, 19 angels got it. The ismillahi means by way of ismullah. Ism is a noun, a person, a place, or a thing. And this puts Allah Ta'ala out of the class of persons, places, and things. But هو العظيم, he is Azam, the Supreme. Bismillah, that is me Allah. Begin all things by way of Allah. Ar-Rahmani, Ar-Rahman, Rahama. The word Arhama means the wound of a mother when it yields for the baby to pass into this world. When a Muslim says, Bismillahir Rahman, begin all things with the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, because he has yielded, he takes us back to the very creation. In the name Al-Khaliqu, Allah's name is Al-Khaliqu, the creator, Al-Musawiru, the fashioner. Takes us back to the very beginning when human beings were placed in Jannatul Fir'aun, the garden in Eden. And there was a gate on the garden. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of man's fall, waived death, because he said the day that man lies, or the day that man disobeys his commandment, he would surely die. But Allahu al-Ghafuru al-Ghafaru, he's so forgiving, the forgiver, he is Ar-Rahmanu, He opened the womb of the garden and let man walk out into Adonia, into the world. The word Adonia has its root in the word Din, Dan, Dun, judgment. Man, from the day that Allah opened the gate and put his karabim, which you know as cherubim, to protect the gate, man started his judgment. The day Adam, wa umaha, Eve, walked into the world. When I say umaha, I mean the mother of it, all creation, walked into the dunya, out of Jannah, out of the garden, judgment started. Why Allah Ta'ala is called Maliki Yawmiddin, the ruler of Yawmiddin, the day of Dun, Deen, judgment. But Allah Ta'ala, out of his compassion and his generosity and his mercy, he yielded to man. He let man out of the garden. Bismillahir Rahman. And then Ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala promises man that if man stays on sabilahu, stays on his path, if man obeys his laws and his commandments, insanu, if insanu can remember to dhikr Allah, if he can remember to keep up salah, worship, if he can remember dhikr Allah, remember to keep these things, then Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The word Rahmani and the word Rahima is the exact same word. One is just more forceful. It took more to let man out than it will to let him back in than at the Eden. And Allah Ta'ala has promised us throughout Quran Al-Kareem wa Injil Al-Kareem والزبور الكريمة والتوراة الكريمة والصحف الكريمة that if you obey and stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, he will let you back in Jannat al-Fi'idi, the garden of paradise. If you obey his commandments and keep these simple tenets that are your shahadat, witnesses. So when we say in al-Islam, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we are really saying everything must begin Bismillahi, with Allah, because He, Ar-Rahmani, He yields to man when man should have been destroyed. And He is Ar-Rahima, and He will let man back in the garden if man who stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So say, I want people to say, Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. However you say it or read it or recite it, it has the same meaning. If you do things in the name of Allah, you will re-enter the garden in paradise.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is, if you strive in Islam and you are staying throughout the Mustaqim, you are not raised in Islam but came into it, can you be part of the 144,000 who are going to reign with the Lamb?
The reality of it is that في القرآن الكريم لما قال الله تعالى إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. You see, this section of the Holy Quran entitled An-Nasr makes room for people to become Nasrullah, or as we call it, Ansarullah. Aid is in the course of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it says, if, either or when, either ja'a, and when has come, already, because this is ja'a, past tense, and when has come, either ja'a Nasrullahi, the aiders of Allah, wal fatha. This shall be the victorious opening of the seal. We know throughout the scriptures, there's mentioning of the opening of the seventh seal. We know that Daniel could not open it in his time. The prophet Daniel, alayhi salatu wasalam, could not open the seal in his time. We know that in Isa ibn Maryam's time, he said there was no one worthy in the heavens above, on the earth, or beneath the earth to open the seal. So it wasn't him. And now we know that Al-Quran is called the seal of the scriptures. And that it mentions in the last revelation, إِلَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدْ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ وَسَلَامَ, the last revelation given to him was Surah An-Nasr. Now, if you have a Quran, and you look at Surah An-Nasr, which of course all Ansar are supposed to be familiar with, turn to it. Let's see what we find. إِذَا جَنَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحَ. What does this mean? When you, or if you, جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, see the نَصْرُ اللَّهِ come, this shall be الْفَتْحَ, a victorious opening. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحَ. Then it adds in a past tense, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ, and you have seen a nasi. Who is a nas? People. A nas gets its root out of the word ans or nasiya, to be forgetful, and nisa. Nas, insan, and nisa, from nasi, forget. When Allah spoke of the 96th surah of the Quran, when he revealed the first one to the prophet, he spoke about people, human beings being created. Okay? Now, Nasr is saying, وَرَأَيْتَ يَدْخُلُونَ, and you have already seen يَدْخُلُونَ, people دَخَلَ, entering بِدِّينَ اللَّهِ, into the deen of Allah. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي الدِّينَ اللَّهِ أَفْوَجًا, and you have already seen a forgetful human being entering into the deen of Allah, afwajan, into Allah's means by which they will be judged in groups. Fasabbah bihamdi, fasabbah bihamdi, subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika, fasabbah bihamdi. You see that? So, fasabbah, so glorify bihamdi by way of hamda. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Surah Al-Fatiha is called the opening. So glorify by way of the opening, the new song mentioned in the book of Revelation. And here they use Rabbika, your sustainer, and it's in a single because it's talking ila Rasulullah Muhammad, because his Quran was coming down to him about his people, after him. And ghafaru, and you see people who seek out the forgiveness of Allah. Innahu kana tawaban. Surely he was tawaban. Why is it put in the past tense? Because Bani Israel also was given the right to repent when Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to Misr, Egypt, to get them out of there. And they was presented with the same doctrine, because they were questioning too, when will the help come? The Holy Quran chapter 2:14 says, when are we going to see the aid of Allah? When will it still open? This is what the people around Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, his sahaba, and he told them, surely the help of Allah is very near. Inna nasrullahi kariban. Surely the help of Allah is very near. After them, near means not yet. Many Sunni Muslims and so-called scholars say this is the malaik, the angels, who helped Rasulullah in the battles. Many of them say this already took place, but this didn't say yadkhuluna din al-islami. It said yadkhuluna fi din Allahi afwajan, in groups. So now the answer can a person who is not, or better yet, who has been defiled of the harlot, drunk for the wrath of a fornication, like the book of Revelation teaches, be classified as one of the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation, who will be clothed in white? Allah opens a pathway by the statement, فَسَبَّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. If these people, tawaban, really, really sincerely repent for redemption, when they yadakhuluna fi dinihi, when they enter into his deen, by way of fasabbah subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika, glory to Allah wa bihamdika, and all praise and gratitude is yours, fasabbah bihamdi, and they say bismillahir rahmanir rahim alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. You see that? And then they say this, and mean it fi qulubihim, mean it in their heart, have taqwa Allah ta'ala, have to tremble at the mention of Allah, stay on sabil Allah, stay on the path of Allah, wa taqsimu bil habli Allahi jami'a wa la tafarruqu, and they hold and they tuggle on to the habli Allah as one jami'a, and what they call them, idha janasur, idha janasur nasrullahi, hold on to the Nasrullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu ansarullah. O you who are amanu, who are faithful, but you say believers. Kunu, an order tense to a plural. Be ansarullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu ansarullah. O you who are faithful, be ansarullah. Yadukuluna fi dinillah. Enter into the deen of Allah. فَسَبَّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. There is hope for that person who does not become ضَالِين, who does not become غَدَّبَ, who does not become مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, who does not become seduced by the temptation of the physical devil and fall victim to him. So this section opens the door for people to understand Surah Al-Fatiha.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
You can hear in it the path that it takes, that it wants people to walk on. You can hear it telling you that this is your means of salvation. This is the song. So there is hope. How many will make it? How many can stay pure? How many can stay of the mukhlasina with all the temptations of shaitan and the many forms that he comes, including human beings and friends and so-called Muslims and so-called Ansar brothers and sisters and Sunni and Shiite and magazines and newspapers and television and clothes and music? How many people can stay on Surat al-Mustaqim is the ultimate test. It's safe for the elders to take 144,000 selected children, min al-atfala, who have not tasted the wrath of the fornication of the harlot, who have not lived deliciously in her fornication, who have not worshipped her nor her image, it is better for us to take them to the Crystal City and raise them for 1,000 years in the true light of Allah Ta'ala. And then let them come back with the Lamb, shining in light, pure, dressed in long white robes with crowns of gold. Let them come back to Ardut, the planet of Nesut, of Earth, and claim their righteous. You see, it is so much easier for us to try to groom them than it is for us to try to groom you. Because you turn back so easily. You get on the path of Allah Ta'ala, and any little discouragement or thing that you don't like or thing that don't comply to your wants and your needs, and you turn your back on the jamma. You may say in your heart, La, I am not a munafiq, because amana billahi wal yawmil akhiri wa ma bi mu'mineen. But they're not in with the mu'mineen, mu'minati, mu'minoon. They will tell you, oh, I still have my faith, amana billahi, in Allah Ta'ala wa yawmil akhiri. I just don't live in jama'atu ansar Allah. I don't live in a community. Who are you fooling, brothers and sisters? Allah Ta'ala, all the way back, when we go to the time of Nabi Ibrahim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abraham, his sons had to live with him. And when Lot looked, left, and went down into Sodom and Gomorrah, the same way people leave the tabernacle of the Most High, Jamaat Ansar Allah, and go back into the dunya, the word dunya has its root in the word dan and dun, like yadakuluna fi din allahi afwajan. See that? The same root is in the word dun, din. In dunya, they go back into the dunya, into the means of judgment, into hell. In New York, they call it the village. And they leave the tabernacle of the Most High the way Lut, alayhi salam, left Bayt Allah with Nabi Ibrahim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and went back into the world. Only for the Prophet Ibrahim to have to go around and get him out. Many people come in, say, yadakhuluna fi jami'atu ansar Allah. Say, yadakhuluna fi jami'atu ansar Allah. They enter into jami'atu ansar Allah fi deen Allahi. You see? They repent, and then they turn right back and give themselves, their souls, and their body to shaitan. So it's so much easier for us to work with the children with your help than it is to work with adults who don't want to stay in the Nur of Allah, the light of Allah Ta'ala. Go ahead.
I have a question for you in reference to the beast, the marking of the beast. In many of your pamphlets that I've read so far, you have mentioned in the one 666, the Levitan, that there will be a point where people will be marked for buying and selling, and you refer to this as a computer. My question is, there's also a part in Torah where, you know, or no, in the revelation of Jesus, where it says his people or his appointed people will be marked in the forehead as well, and you shall know his people apart from those marked on the arm, on
right,
the forearm.
Very true.
So my question is, who is going to be doing this marking?
And okay. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I wanted to know, you know, is this going to be done, like, unknown to the black people? If it's going to be some sort of laser
mm-hmm.
beam sort of thing in hospitals when your babies are born, if they're going to try to mark.
They're already doing it.
They're doing it.
They've already given people a mark now. First of all, the numbers you see on every product, when you see these little lines,
yes.
Well, the three narrow lines, the three narrow, the first one, the middle, and the ending, are a computer code called 666. And if you look, I have a book out called The Vietan. I have a picture of it, explains it, the bionic math pattern they use in the computer for the number of the beast. All right. In the scriptures, it says that the other one will have the mark of the father and his name.
Right.
You see? And they will not live in the image of the beast. Now, what is one of the tricks of the beast, it says? Right? Anybody who does not buy nor sell. See? The mark of the beast is on the what? Hand, they say, and the face. But the first is the hand. And then anyone who does not buy nor sell shall die. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, what mark does man carry of exchange for buying and selling that passes his hand?
Money.
And Jesus said, the love of money is the root of all evil. See, we got people living by, I must get a good education so I can get a good job. I need to live well. I got to get a better car. I got to dress better. I got to do this. All of it is based on wealth. And the scripture says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his spirit? And a lot of people don't realize that the spirit is something that can be lost. You understand?
Yes,
open the Bible to Matthew 16:26. And it tells us there, لأنه ماذا? See that?
Okay.
ينتفع الإنسان لو رحي العالم كله وخسر نفسه. That means, for what is it if a man could profit, if human beings profit in all of his gains in this world?
I see it now. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world
and lose his soul?
Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?
What can he give in exchange for his soul? And this is the point that people in the world are exchanging their very souls to the devil for his mark, to have his wealth, to live on his status, which the book of Revelation refers to as living in the image of the beast. We have brothers and sisters out here who have gone to the point of cutting their noses off, altering their faces. It's not a funny thing. It really isn't. Altering their faces to please the devil.
My last question is also, you know, it links in with this marking of the beast. You mentioned that Jesus will not be returning to the flesh. Well, I have been taught this years ago. I'm still speaking truth, so please excuse any inadequacy in my thinking at this point.
Quite all right.
You mentioned that Jesus will not be returning in the flesh as such as he did before, but he's coming in a spiritual form.
Spirit form, into the heart of man.
Right. So what will be this fighting? Will it be a war between men of good spirit and men of evil spirit, as you know?
The fight of Armageddon.
Yes.
Now, the words Arma and Mageto are two places in Israel today. It's just not allegorical. But now when the Bible speaks of us having a battle against good and evil, it's speaking about people who become, like the book of Corinthians said, Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
He said in St. John, for as many as believe on me, to them I give the power to become the sons of God. Everybody's afraid of becoming sons of God, so they stop at becoming Christians and Muslims and etc. The next step after being Christian and Muslim is the transformation from mortality to immortality. Something that Corinthians says man has to put on, not something that he has natural. Which David says, he restoreth my soul and leadeth me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake in the 23rd Psalm. We must put on immortality. You understand? We must make a transition from a terrestrial, physical, to a celestial, spiritual being again in order to be in the bosom with the Father. That's why Jesus said, you'll be with me this day in heaven. You see? And in the Lord's Prayer, he said, our Father who art here in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? As it is in. The whole thing is about a spiritual transformation. So yes, what the Christ motion, and the word Christ in the original language is Mesha or Messiah or the anointed one. And you all must be anointed, and that anointing is called your baptism. And even Jesus was baptized, and people would read Luke chapter 1, and you're baptized to be redeemed, the redemption of your sins. Because you're living in a world of sin. Unfortunately, when you're born in the Western world, the customs, the beliefs, and everything about what you do is going contrary to the scriptures. You follow?
Yes.
And you must be redeemed. You must be born again. And when you're born of what? Flesh or spirit?
Spirit.
The spirit of the Holy Ghost, which the Holy Quran said Jesus was Ruhu Kudus. He had Ruhu Allah, the Holy Spirit in him.
You follow that? Well, you have the same power to become a son of God or a daughter of God by the Spirit of the Most High descending back into you, but you've got to do what? He said, I stand at the door and I knock it. And anyone who opens and lets me in, I will.
No way, that's
right. That's right. Now, we know Jesus didn't mean he's going to be standing at everybody's door and every house and every closet knocking. The door he was talking about is the door to your heart. In Islam, they verified that the Messiah would come back and take the dollar's head. But they speak of the dollar as more than one person, as a bunch of beings with the sign of kafir on their foreheads in Islam. The reason why they call them with kafir on their forehead is because the word kafir means a person who has turned away, has concealed the truth. And when you look at them, you won't know they're Muslim. You won't know they're righteous. When Jesus was coming, how'd they know? They said, behold the Lamb. They looked at him and knew by the way he was dressed that he was the Lamb. And in the Bible and Revelation tell you how he was dressed. He had a white robe down to his ankles. Right? So they're telling you that those Muslims who will be in the last day who don't look like Muslims, they are walking around with the sign of the Dajjal on them. They look like a kafir instead of looking like a Muslim. And that the righteous, like you said, who are getting the Holy Spirit, will war against evil. But we will not do it with swords and backs and sticks. We'll do it with the two-edged sword. And where did that two-edged sword come out? Out of the mouth, cutting up lies. The day has come when people, simple people like you and I, the meek are being made to dumbfound the wise. We don't go to Bible scholars and a reverend this and we don't want, we want to know the truth of the Bible, fundamental truth. And that's it. That's the two-edged sword. And that Armageddon is in the making right now.
Well, I proved this a little bit to the Jews. You know, you quote something. I've been reading your pamphlet, and you're able to, like, quote something. This way, so the word is important. And they sort of shiver away from you. And I find that they respect our race. People, when they tie their heads, and
that's
they're right. Long gowns. So I'm saying it must be some truth.
And when you say a certain thing to them, they back up. You say, I know the blasphemers that will call themselves Jews and are not.
I know.
They're the synagogues of Satan. They'll go, whoop, they're back right away from you. They know what you're talking about.
I see. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. They should have one of those for Muslims. We should be saying, I know the blasphemers that will call themselves Muslims and are not.
The Ansarullah community, known from 1970 to 1990, as the source of all answers, and regardless of what Semitic language you saw. But now the children of the Ansarullah community have grown into young men and young women called the disciples of the Lamb. And we all know who the Lamb is. The humble one. The one who brought us nothing but truth. No more time for lies. No more time for dreamers and dreams. Stop telling us what the devil has done to us. What the white people have done to us. Tell us what you plan to do with us now or shut up. Now let us continue.
If paradise is elevating to other galaxies, then what and where is hell?
Okay, hell is where you will make it. The Quran has many dimensions of the word for hell in Arabic. They have words from Sir to Luz. They have many words, and each one of them describes the state of mind that people are going to put themselves in. Okay, very rarely do you find the word makana, place. Hawiya, the bottom is pit, merely means a boundless place. That's more interpreted in Arabic as eternally than anything. Now, when we say that heaven is planes, we're talking about states of growth emotionally. Planes are not merely places. Places and things deal with nouns and physical objects. They have to do with, like I mentioned earlier, the motion of molecules on the physical plane, right? Matter. When you start speaking about the planes emotionally and man elevating to those planes, we're talking about his spiritual growth and the speed in which his physical body transforms into a spiritual body and into a soul force. And at the rate it's moving, he'll begin to vibrate on different levels. The same way this room, the room you're sitting in, the light could become so bright until your octave nerve is cut off. That does not mean the light is not there. It means it got so bright that you can no longer take it. It will just block out the ability to see. Man has to elevate again back to them, those states. And depending on his spiritual growth will determine what he as a spiritual being will create in his environment that Allah Ta'ala refers to as Jannah in the Quran. The garden. He doesn't call it a place, he calls it a garden, and describes things that people on a physical plane can identify with. Rivers flowing in green grass and couches laid for man, because to describe a spiritual state to physical people is next to impossible. So he has to give you likenesses on the physical plane that you can identify with. You follow that?
Oh, right.
And hell is an abode where people are going to judge themselves by their sins, not for their sins. And hell resides deep down in the essence of each individual. You give yourself hell when you do wrong and know it's wrong.
Well, how do you compare that hell with the last day? If you said that elevating yourself on a spiritual plane, how does it compare?
Because
to the last
hell.
Day?
Sorry, I'm sorry. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Proceed.
Yes. How does it compare to the last day or the day of standing?
Okay.
How do you put that in relation.
In the Quran, call Allah Ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala teaches us that there are three stages of the end. The first being Yawm al-Din. Yawm al-Din, the day of Dunun, the day when people will be questioned about things, judgment. The next one Allah Ta'ala uses is Yawm al-Qiyamah. The word Qiyamah comes from the Arabic word Qum, to stand up or to rise up, not Ba'atha, to resurrect, but Qum, to just stand up physically, okay, to arrest yourself. And the last one is called Yawm al-Akhri. Yawm al-Akhri. The word Akhir means the final or the end. Man must pass through these three stages before he has totally become godlike again, or what we have it, one with Allah. That means after his domain on the physical plane, the first thing is Yawm al-Din, or Yawm al-Qiyam, I should say, the day when he will come back as a sun-dried body, or a spiritual body, the Quran says, and stand to be judged. That's the first one, is Yawm al-Qiyamah, to rise up, whether he's dead or alive, and in a spiritual form, go before Allah, the throne of Allah Ta'ala, and at that point, he will start Yawm al-Din, the day when his records will be passed from Sijin or Ilium, the two places mentioned in the Quran, as the prison or the exalted abode, where the records and deeds of mortals are kept. You follow?
Yeah.
Then, after that record is passed to him in either his right hand from the front from Ilium or his left hand from the back from Sijin, then he goes to Yawm al-Akhir. Yawm al-Akhir in the Holy Quran is equivalent to the second death in the book of Revelation. What do I mean by the second death? Man dies here, then starts his judgment. And then as a spiritual being, whether or not he will go into Jannah, eternal salvation in the presence of the bosom of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran says, wherein he will reside khaliduna, eternally by based on what you call time on earth, or will he be cast into the pit with Satan in the likes of him? If Allah, which will be his second death, be cast into a pit, that's the second death, where he will reside with Satan and his. Because remember, Satan as an angel cannot be destroyed. He's an angel of light. Him and his host of beings and the stones of the genie will make up the tormentation that you believe in your mind is hell, and thus will project yourself into the suffering. Not you per se, but you know, people. All right? Keep questioning. Can we get it? Do you get it out of your mind totally?
Yeah, I'm still a little confused with this, because you can live through this life and pass on. So my question is, how do you get through these different stages, or can we all get through these stages here?
They're growth stages. See, most people have lived many times before. Right? The scriptures confirm that Elish was Yahna, that John the Baptist was the return of Elijah, and that Moses and Elijah appeared to Isa on the mount in front of him. You follow that? The spiritual beings. The scriptures from the Quran straight back to the Injil, to the Torah, confirms the presence of angels in the form of men that incarnate the human being. Like when the angel Jibreel, salam alaikum wa rahmatullah, appeared before Rasulullah Muhammad in the cave in Laylatul Qadr to give him the revelations of Al-Quran al-Kareem, right? And he also, Jibreel, appeared to Miriam, the mother of Jesus, in the form of Ruhul Qudus, the Holy Spirit, to tell her the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus ibn Maryam, the son of Mary, correct? So we have records in the Holy Scriptures, be they the Torah, the Injil, or the Quran, or the Zabor, of supernatural beings appearing in the form of human beings to converse and interact, even to the point of breaking bread and supping with mortals. And the Hadith confirms it when it mentions Jibreel coming to the Prophet Muhammad in the 40 Hadith. So we have records that there is life beyond this life throughout all of the scriptures. Insofar as this being Gabriel was with Abraham at one point, Moses at another point, Mary at another point, and Muhammad at another point, and we're talking 5,000 years. All right? And they always come with the same message, that man has to realize that he is one with the universe. He is one with the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and must raise himself back to that state so that he can go back to where he's being came from. Because these beings, angels as they call them, are coming from some abode to deal with mortals. And they're saying that you mortals want to get back to that abode. So the answer to your question is, there are levels of aspiration that men have to go through when they can make a transition from a mortal being to an immortal being, when they can let the spiritual self dominate the physical self and prepare their inner being for that journey back to wherever these beings come from. Of course, there's an answer, but to keep taking the subject deeper and deeper, just to say to wherever they come from, wherever Gabriel, the angel, comes from, and Uriel and Raphael and Michael, wherever they come from is where you're trying to get back to, and obviously came from if they say that man was placed on earth from someplace, took the man and placed him in the garden. If they placed you in the garden, they brought you from somewhere, and that place is where you're trying to get back to. Yes, it is possible, but it calls for application, discipline, and obedience. Some of the things that the devil taught human beings not to do, to apply themselves to the best of their ability, to obey and be obedient. They can't take instructions from anybody. Since the beginning of Genesis, is suffering from a God complex when the devil says that he does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as God. Now everybody you meet thinks they understand the scriptures, thinks they got a monopoly on its meaning. Everybody wants to be the God. Instead of admitting they don't know and sitting down and being instructed so they can make it, everybody tries to interpret it themselves because their ego dominates their divinity.
Oh, when you said the Garden of Eden on a spiritual plane?
There was both a Garden of Eden on earth, so that's why it says get you down from here, and I placed man in a garden eastward in Eden. There was one on earth, which is where the Kaaba stands today, and for every physical thing, there is an etheric counterpart. You follow? For every physical being, there's a spiritual or etheric counterpart, and that goes for everything that has life. And everything that you see that has matter is living. Down to rocks, they have vibration in life. So there's etheric counterparts to everything on the physical plane. There's a spiritual abode and a physical one.
Okay, in dealing with the soul, there are people that do not have the soul. And how do we...
Go ahead.
Fill me in on...
Let me answer. I know what you're trying to say.
Okay.
In ancient Arabic, which is very important because when we get down to the translated languages that we're speaking in, then lack of esoteric knowledge or spiritual knowledge is why so many things are left confusing. Now, let me go back. In the scripture of the Torah, we have Reh and Nefesh. That's in ancient Amharic, as well as, not Amharic, Aramic, as well as Phoenician, as well as Hebrew. In Arabic, we have Nafs and Ruh in the Quran. Ruh is soul. that is emotional body, and next is spirit, that is life body. You understand? Everything that lives has a spirit, but everything that lives with a spirit does not have to have a soul. They're two different things. The soul is the emotional body, the reactionary body, the stimulant body, and the spirit, though it has the ability to react and be stimulated, is not the emotional body. Divine attribute from Allah is Ruh. The gift of life is Nafs. So white, black, anybody can have Nafs, a spirit, because they're alive. But they don't have to have a Ruh, a soul, that gives them a conscious body, that makes them responsible and concerned. You understand? Like we say, right?
Okay, that's true. That's true and all. And when you say some people have it and some people don't, I mean,
well, people have to maliciously give up their soul. They gotta give their soul to the devil, and he gives them the wealth of this world. But when the day comes, when the angel Israel of death comes to them and asks for a soul, they can't give it to him, so they can't make the journey. The vehicle that will take you to the next realm, that will take your spirit to the next realm, is your soul. You need the soul to get there. You follow that?
Yeah.
And blacks give their soul to the devil, living in his image and after his likeness. Black women trying to look white, straightening their hair and doing all kinds of things, dressing, we can't help it. Get mad at me, but it's the truth. I'm sorry, I gotta tell the truth. People get mad at you when you tell the truth. When black women look on television and they see white women with straight hair, that's why they go out and process their hair and get hot straightening combs and burn themselves all up with lard and grease and all that, because they subconsciously are trying to live in the image of the beast. They don't mean to. They think white women are more attractive than themselves. They think that God made a mistake with their hair. Meanwhile, white women, on the other hand, are in beauty parlors putting rollers and stuff in their hair. Black women are putting on makeup and plucking their eyebrows and stuff to look white, to white people. And white women are laying on beaches, baking and frying themselves, trying to get black. You follow what I'm saying? The white man idolizes you, and he's taught them to idolize him. So the our woman is trying to live like him because the television is saturated and the radios and history and commercials. As I say, the white woman has been pretty, but she thinks she's not attractive unless she looks like a white woman. It gets so sad to the point where people cut their noses to change their African features to try to look like white people, altering their very face. When you alter your body, you are questioning the ability of the creator of the heaven and the earth, saying that you believe that the heavenly father made a mistake. Any woman or man sitting up in a church with a Jew, they're questioning God, as you call him, or Allah, as we all know him to be. They're questioning his ability. They're saying he made a mistake with the way they look. And he made a mistake with the texture of their hair. And he made a mistake with the way their eyebrows grow, and therefore they got to sharpen them to look what they call pretty. You follow? Because he must see you as pretty regardless, because that's where he created you. And when you pluck the eyebrow and shape the nose and brush the cheek, to sharpen your cheekbones and slant your eyes and straighten and comb your hair, then and shorten your skirt and expose your body and tighten your pants, you're saying that you don't feel you have enough inner beauty to draw a man. You have to seduce your man. You have to put on tight skirts and short skirts and stockings and toe-out shoes and all this exposure to say, see me for what I am physically, but not for what I am spiritually. Why marriages in the Western world don't last like they do in the Eastern world, because men marry by what they see. And after a couple of days, when all that sea drops, the tide drops, and the woman starts to look like, then he's out chasing some young woman. And that's been the history of the American people, right? That's why, because the woman prostitutes herself to her man instead of presents her spiritual worth to her man and her emotional worth. She does it by short skirts and slips and tight pants and all that. She gets dressed up and goes out, and she doesn't realize that she's going out prostituting when she goes to a discotheque with tight shirts on, hoping that some guy who's good looking sees her and comes and asks her for a number. She's going out as a sedate prostitute. That's what he's done to us, he says in the Quran. Oh, children of Adam, don't let the devil seduce you the way he did your parents in the garden and made them remove their garments. In that section in the Quran, that's what he's talking about. And our people are seduced because we are now living in the image of the beast and after his likeness. And we live by his money. We live by everything he says. So indeed, we are giving up our souls. Our very worth. The only person in the whole tribe of Israel that had any worth during the time of Goliath is David. Because everybody else in the valley was scared. David was sitting up on the mountain playing a harp and said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have no fear of evil. And then he came down and he brought down Goliath. All the soldiers of Israel couldn't do it because they had all the muscles, but they didn't have the what? The iman. They didn't have that faith. David had that simple faith of a shepherd. You follow?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you're saying that we live on this physical plane of existence to discipline or to...
It's a school.
Okay.
You have descended to earth as a school for you to develop your inner being to become one with the Creator again.
بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم.
If you have any questions or comments about right knowledge, write to the 10th Abraham, P.O. Box 50547, Atlanta, Georgia, 30302, or call 404-659.
Easter is an Egyptian holiday. A lot of people don't know that. Easter is an Egyptian holiday, and it's based on the 4 points of the solstice, which has to do with the 4 days of Osiris being dead and resurrected. All right? That is the Egyptian holiday. It's involved. Now, Esther, which is no more than Ishtar, which is no more than Isis. The reason why Esther, the only book in the Bible where the word God is not used, is because they would have to put the Egyptian names there. If all that, most of the names of people in the Bible are Egyptian names. You just don't know that. And I should correct that to say attributes and not names. Because you take a person like Abraham, for instance, and translate his name, father of many nations. You have to stop and say, what was his name when he was that time? You follow? And this is before prediction and prophethood. Because prediction and prophethood, they come in into the books of the prophets. And the first 5 books of the Pentateuch, or the Tanakh, Torah, are not prophetic books. You had the books of the first 5 books, and then you had what they refer to as the books of the king, and then you had the books of the prophets. So prophecy was came way down the line, way after Abraham, which really should have been no prediction or prophecy in Abraham's time. All right, so now how did Abraham get the name Abraham, father of many nations? When you understand Egyptian, the Egyptian language, you find the word F means heart. Ra is the god, and Hama means of majesty. So that when this Chaldean
went over to Egypt, as they tell you in the Bible, the people there refer to him as Ra Hama. Now, the Jews took it and said Imra to cross over, but said, how could Imra, how could you cross over the Tigray Valley, be Jewish, and the people on this side call you Hebrew? So I guess, how could you be a person on this side, crossing over, be a patriarch of the Hebrew, yet in Hebrew, it means cross over? The people on this side of the water, I'm trying not to confuse you now, the people on this side of the water, I have been speaking your language. Now, are you saying that the word Abraham or Abram is a Hebrew word? So who called him that? him and his family were lost in the Bible themselves. So they wouldn't call themselves the people on this side, call them that, but his language, they adopted Abraham into Hebrew from someone else's language. And as they started correcting the language, they changed the lot to Sarah. And he started going down, and he followed out of the name of the Bible, started getting changed. He took their Egyptian names away and gave them Chaldean names or Phoenician names or Canaanite names. They changed the book to Seth, which became Seth. In Genesis, they all took on these names to suit where they were borrowing a culture. The Bible can say that was to give back to Esther and Easter and Ishtar and Isis to follow the same principle. And the egg is the primordial egg that Ra was born out of. There is no egg in Christianity. There is no egg in Judaism. And there is no egg birth in Islam. The only way there is an egg birth recorded is in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, when they say that Ra came out of a egg. And then the concept of a stork delivering the baby is the same story that they stole from the stolen Egyptian at Djibouti, right, Abbasburg, and gave to them as a dove. Why did they need a dove? Well, you know, magicians choose doves. They pull out of nowhere. You know that? You know why the dove doesn't flap around? Because if you take a dove and stick a dove in your bosom or anywhere else, the moment you get out of light, you go into a coma state. You know that? They see through. You go to any source of any pet store and ask them to take a dove and take a paper bag and put the dove in their paper bag and close it. And that will stop moving. You go there. Okay? You should be honest. So Jesus, at 33 years old, was resurrected from death, or what was a dead state, as a dove. That's why they say a dove. And the voice was behind the dove. And Jesus is laying the dead state. And back tonight. This is an ancient Egyptian ritual followed from Osiris, Jose, and Tahuti, with his power, gave Isis the seed to bring Horus to life. So, in actuality, Horus was the rebirth of his father, the god of the underworld, Osiris. And you believe in that? About that? So the story today of Jesus dying, going into the cave, the sarcophagus, and being pulled out, and the men dressed in white, who were there down there, was the order of Tahuti.
And Acton is the
highest point of the sun, where you see Uncle Hunt can hold his hands up, you see a sunbeam with a thousand rays of light coming down with hands. Meaning each thing that the sun does in creation, or every the laying on of hands for light. And Uncle Hunt is standing there because Uncle Hunt unified the godship in Egypt. He got rid of the rituals of many deities and brought them into Netir Shil Nitiru, the God of gods. And he said that Atun, at the highest point, so he destroyed most of the temple, knocked down most of their gods, and erected everything to one God, Atun, which was as a ability, Pharaoh himself. So he becomes Atun Re, or Atun Ra. And he gives birth to the son of God. And he becomes Amun, the light of the hidden one. The hidden Amun means the secret or hidden one. So he ended all prayers. He ended all rituals. In Hebrew, they say Humayn. In Islam, they say Amin. And in Christianity, we say Amen. Amen is Amun. Amun was put on Amun. And that's why the last identified family of pharaohs, sarcophagus, mummies is Tut on Amun. And when they brought that face out, they looked at that gold face, see the face like a sun, like, they said, that's what they said. And the story of the death of Tutankhamun and the story of the death of Christ is the same thing. It was his uncle who arranged his death. Right? And his mother, Nefertiti, Nefer, the beauty has been born, had finally come to the world. That was Mary. And that's why you find the statue of the Blessed Mother Mary, breastfeeding the sacred child of Christ, is in Egypt first, as Isis and Horus, and also in Babylon. But people don't know that there's a word in the Egyptian language, Keres, which means anointed. And then the word Messa, M-E-S-S-E-H, Messa, which means oil from a hippopotamus. Sounds great. But in Egypt, the anointing ceremony was done from the oil of the hippopotamus and not the olive branch. And when a god or priest, as they called him, was anointed with this, he became a messer. You follow? And he was born of a godly line like Jesus, the son of the seed of David, a holy family, the chosen people. He became a Christ messer. And that is no more than Christ Messiah when it got brought over into another man's language. So on the tomb is referred to as Koresh the Messiah. Now, you find to say, what does the hippopotamus have to do with all of this? The hippo, or what they call the sea elephant, the seahorse. Well, when you go into the temple of Hathor, which is Hathor and Horus, when you walk into a temple and you look up and you see the circle of the universe, you see what's referred to as the Dendora, the map of the sky, which is a zodiac map. And in the center of it is a hippopotamus. The hippopotamus was thought to be the oldest living mammal in ancient Egypt. Because it's one of the few animals, it's fit to be asking things about it. For one, a hippopotamus has a mouth to stay underwater longer than any other mammal, including the whale. So it breathes in the water, can go down to the bottom of the water, stay down there for almost an hour, sometimes 2 or 3 hours, and then come up. A whale can't even do that. A whale has to come up and breathe. So like Easter, in the womb of its mother, like a tadpole, like a reptilian or a fish. The boat you will not drive on. The first thing they tell you is when the water breaks, the baby's coming. What is the association between the water breaking and the baby being born, other than the fact that the baby is living in water? Now, if you are a land creature, dirt, agama, only, you should drown while you're in water. All right? So if you're able to live in water for 9 months of breathing underwater, then you've got to have some reptilian in you. Some sea creatures there. Whether you want to accept it or not, you have a tadpole or whatever, you have a tail and you swim. You didn't have arms, you didn't have teeth, and you didn't have lungs, you had gills. So we do have some reptilian in us. And that reptilian in us, or that nahash in us, or that serpent in us, is why we so damn devilish. And try to act like we're not. Although we're the first people to point the finger and call somebody devilish. And we wouldn't know what they were doing if we didn't do it or haven't seen it. Like, we tell us kids to stop that, you know what Jesus said? I know what you're getting ready to do. And suppose the kids said what? You get ready to snatch that toy out to your little brother's hand. How did you know that? I'm a prophet. Either you a prophet or you did it. And you know what it is, nigga? You did it. You know, you did some more stuff too, but you got away with it. But that's part of our nature, that the religious community would like to take away and throw away and pretend don't exist. We don't want to face that we have a ugly side, that we have a devious side, an evil side. Everybody here, they've done something wrong. More than once. Some things you did wrong, knew they were wrong, you did them again. Now, who's that? Where was God doing that? If you're God, if you're just, if you're all God, all good, where was God when you were doing that devilishly? Did you sleep? But God did say he put his spirit in you, so God must dwell in each of us. So when me and you are sitting around thinking about doing the wrong, doggone thing, where is the God in us then? Sleep. Tolerant. Compassionate. Patient. But there is another side to us that when we look at television sometimes, we see starving little kids all over the world. We want to empty our pockets up. Some of y'all saw Mighty Joe Young and cried when he fell. And you're looking at a movie. Big old stuffed thing. But you cried. Hold on. Some of you men cried. I remember E.T. I was crying. You know well, you should have seen that at the time to get the popcorn from the person who was crying. When they started crying, they said, oh. But we do have a soft side and a cold side. But we don't want to address that we're made up with. We are compulsive creatures. We are reptilians and mountain. And this is all recorded only in Egyptian history. Because in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, we don't want to address the devil side of us. No, we are all children of God. And when that boy Rodney down to block us and the devil is free, I say, well, let's be there. The time, place, and everything under the sun. Right? Time now to kick his little butt. But we don't do that. We take it to this rational, passionate side. That's the God. That's the good side. What dominates? What rules? It looks like the evil side. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because you take two little kids and put them together. You give one something, step back, the other one will take it. And if it's a metal toy or a wooden toy, not only take it, hit him in the face with it, and then if you try to take it, hit you in the face. Little kid can't even walk yet. You still gotta feed him when you swing it to him. Try to smash you. If there's no teeth, John Michael. Not dogs, snap. And you know, he's snoring on me. He's snoring on me. He's trying to eat you. They don't know what snoring is. They don't chew their cud. They're mothering them in this little cheap little baby.
understand why he gave you the piece of his own. That's real.
Right.
That's illness. They don't have a compassionate bone in their body. They are sickly self. They go for this. They will wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning. You can come in and say, come on, I got to work tomorrow, kid. I'm tired. Kid got this. The deep part about it is sometimes they'll stop. So, and look at you for a little while, you think, okay, we need to do you want me to go. And that's when your side comes and goes up. What's all that? That's all our nation. The only culture that taught us to deal with our nature for what we are is to know. Everybody else wants to make us deal with a remote nature. In other words, they want to say, good is up there, and bad is up there. You're somewhere in between. Now, to be good, you're going up there. You're bad, you're going down there. Plus, religion. And that's it. Every time you do something bad, you're going to hell. Every time you do something good, you're going to be in heaven. But no explanation, no link between, no intelligence, nothing tied. What about the person, the kid who starts walking like a dog? Well, we have some dolphins too. We act like dogs. We act like cats. We act like Nazi women acting like cats. You know? We act like everything from a fur and acting like a cat. You don't even look like that. Man, we men. Wildlife is for you to die. No, fuck up. See the difference. We don't have no problem with being called a dog. Women have being called a dog. So how can you tell me, check it out, how can you tell me what I
doctrine, intellect, and then now, so what the heck is homily? Intellect or intellect is information trapped within the environment that we're in. We are on Earth, and we're dealing with Earth sciences, Earth rhythms, like climate, growth, death, experiences, developments. If all that has happened inside this dome of spheres that we are in. Yep. But if you get a message from outside, and you hear a voice inside, people say you're insane. Take it now. You're not insane. You're not out of your sanity. You become insane when you start hearing stuff from voices outside this realm. Instead of saying you're insane, they say person insane. They're in here and they become sane. But they'll lock you away, put you in a hospital. You walk up to some person mumbling. I don't know if you ever done it. I just play something like that. A person walking down the street mumbling. If you ask them what they talk, what's up? What's up, brother? They'll say you can't imagine how the elements are turning inside out. Insects are starting to grow. And Charlie Bird knew all about it. Charlie Dingus played the bass about that. He would never could understand what he was talking about. But Miles Davis hit that note on the trumpet. And you said, well, it's crazy. He's telling you things are happening in tones. They always go back to Earth. Bird, this person in a church. And Jimmy Hendrix, he said, no, that guitar went. You hear that thing vibrating at a certain frequency. And while I feel something coming, trying to come out, they're walking, they're trying to take my head. They're trying to, they want to hurt me. He's like, okay, no. Brothers out, that brother's out saying. That brother's receiving out to left. That brother's receiving out formation, not information. He has fallen out of formation. They have to keep me and you in formation. They got to keep us in intellect. They got to keep us in order. They got to keep us in line. They got to keep us in the system. And when you step out of the system, you're a problem. You step out of line, you're a problem. You step out of order, you're a problem. You see? But God, Jesus, came from out in. And they don't get that. He brought out to left in. He brought out formation in. And those in who were ruling Jerusalem said he was crazy. Let's kill him. Because he's doing things that's out of order. That's right, out of this world. He is truly out of this world. He said, I'm above and you're below me. He said, I'm going back. Anybody want to come with me? There's certain things you must do. That's first of all, you got to learn to love each other. Everybody, you ain't going. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn to live for and by each other. He said, see, the things I'm doing, you're going to do great. He was saying, I tell you, the greatest thing with Jesus, what Jesus is trying to say to you is that all that I've learned, which is that he's wax wise, and all that I've learned, I'll pass it on to you. And then you'll use all that I gave you and your natural intelligence, and you will end up smarter than me. Many are chess students beat the master. Because the master teaches them chess, but the student all their moves. After a while, the student got all their moves, and then so, that's all Jesus said when he said the words, I do you do better. But he was a being speaking from the outside in. See, in Islam, they say God is in the heavens. Christianity, they say God sits on the throne in the heavens. Then when you try to get them to define the heavens, they can't. But they'll speak of the devil being cast out of the heavens. And there's no place then found at all in the heavens. And then Job goes back never to heaven. It says before God, they don't have heaven to go. They make it sound like he's going to heaven, but it says he goes before God. So now wait a minute. What happened? Is this God that the devil was with, the angels went before God? Was he the same God of Genesis is in the heaven? Is there more than one heaven? Well, don't ask that. Jesus said, I'll give you that. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Jesus said, I am Father. What? Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. So Jesus' Father was, so Jesus was looking up when he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And then, in sleep, as y'all all know, the word for heaven was Orion. And right above Orion are the seven sisters of Lady. And right beneath Orion is the Osiris, Osiris God, with two, A and B. So the being on the bottom star were looking up at the seven stars of Orion, four, and then the three in the belt. And they saw the three wise men, the three stars of the Orion belt. But from the Orion belt north was another heaven called Pleiades. And the books of Job and Amos said, where were you when I laid the foundation of Pleiades? And the Pleiades were the dragons, was one of the star constellations for the houses in my father's mansion. I mean, can you put a mansion in a house? No. But if you're talking about houses in the sky, star constellations in the heavens, Jesus said, we're going that way, showing you where to go. Man, you have the Draco constellation because in the middle of Pleiades is Aldebaran. And what kind of beings came from Aldebaran? Huh? Pleiades. What are their description? Ashtar command. How did the guy fallen from heaven, was his name, Travis Walters? How did he describe what happened? He said, I was abducted. A ship was in the woods. A big light took me and knocked me down. My pants took off, which is normal. They didn't have to leave the same ran. People won't run if you get knocked down. They were flying saucer, not yet. But the ground niggas really gonna run. Anyway, that man left it. He disappeared for a certain amount of days. He said once they put him under a press of hypnosis and they could bring out what happened to him, he said, I woke up on a bed. It's a bunch of grays looking around me, a bunch of little guys with big eyes. And then in comes a tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. And he escorted me into another room where there were other blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. And then the next day I knew I woke up and I was in the woods. Days later. I think it's called a fallen from the sky.
In November 1975, an Arizona forestry worker, Travis Walton, came upon a mysterious craft in the woods.
It was hovering up here, just below the tops of the tree, and it was about 25 feet in diameter, and I could hear a sound coming from it. It was kind of a very strange mechanical sound. And I was kind of wrestling with the idea of being so close to this. I'd expected it to take off. You know, in running up here, I figured this was my last chance to, you know, to see this thing up close. But I decided that I'd better get the hell out of there. And as I raised up and turned to go, I felt this numbing shock and blacked out.
Walton said he came to inside the craft, where humanoids conducted medical experiments on him.
What happened? There's another man way up in Sweden with one arm.
Billy Myers.
Anybody remember his name?
Billy Myers.
Billy Myers. He said these crafts, he takes pictures of all these crafts. He says one day, one of the crafts came so close that a woman came out and sat beneath a tree and talked to me. And tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. You see? First of all, no one has blue eyes. No one has blue eyes. Even when you look in a person's eyes and you see blue, there is no such thing as blue eyes. You know why their eyes are there blue? Because blue is the fastest moving color in the spectrum. And hits the eyes first. Investigate. That's why the sky is blue. But out of all the colors in the spectrum, the color that hits your eye first is blue. Look at them. Of course, they have melanin receptors. They don't have the brown or the green or the hazel. They have a gray in their eye. It gives a transparent effect of blue. So now.
When they bring the ancient Egyptians back in, And if the Egyptians are not going to bear witness to them, the system of devil's trip, they will say thank you, and with that one hand, as they always do, put it on his neck and crush it. Say, yo, the man, you're the demon. I talk to myself now. Well,
you have made a place in it for me as one of your followers who follow
for your kingdom, but you have not made a place for me in it, for my bride, for my sons and daughters to feel like they're a part of it. You hear me? Because you described Muhammad as other than white. And when he said, what about Bilal? Well, what if Bilal do his son well? So he became a Muslim, and he called the people of prayer, and he didn't compliment for being a singer. Well, hell, we already know we got the music thing closed up. He ain't coming, buddy. We know we gave Brown. We got that covered. But I want to place this song in the blood, in the spiritual side of it, and the physical side, the chromosome side. And if I can't find that there, then I don't mind visiting. I don't mind respecting it. I don't know how to say Assalamu Alaikum to you, but I cannot be a Muslim by genetics if you're describing Muhammad as other than a black man.
Right.
And, it's, I mean, and I'm not saying describe him as a black man, I'm saying that's your problem. But if I don't need Muhammad to take me to the next level of existence, then you keep him, keep your description. I'm not becoming no Buddhist, I see here, dude. I got a little fire going on here. I can't become no Buddhist. I love Chinese food. But I can't become no Buddhist. Why? Because I'm not Chinese. And I can't see myself in there. And my sons and daughters are not going to feel good about themselves when they keep seeing Buddha as a Chinese. And we all bow down on their head and we don't look like Buddha. I can respect the Buddha. I can respect their religion. You know what I'm saying? I can appreciate their culture and fascinated by some of the things they've done. But I can't be a Buddhist. When you go back to the Torah or Tanakh, you start talking about, well, the blacks are the original Hebrews. That they show it to me. Well, I am black for coming to your daughter in Jerusalem. You quote one book out of Psalms of Solomon. You follow me? And that's it for you. And I say, no. The world has depicted the Jews as Caucasian. The world has. The media has. All the movies have. Charlton Heston has. Jesus comes on television every year in the world in a bunch of movies as a white man. Right? So we get this instant in our mind over and over again. When I put your son and daughter, how am I going to get him over to a black people? Because I say Jesus is black. But when I say it right now, I want everybody in here, if you can trust me for a second, to close your eyes. Just trust me to close your eyes. I'm going to say, Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them. Now, what am I? Tell me you need to see a white man. I don't care how black I made Jesus, how many pictures we do to make him black. I'm in the bottom of your mind. Right? Jesus, white. The God can do all they want to make Jesus black. But he's still in the back of our mind as well. I mean, it's in our genes. And the from that bright God is going to go from my genes into my son's and daughter's genes. We can't make any progress because we're sparing other than self in time. We're surrendering to other than self in time. We're worshiping other than self in time. We're prostrating to other than self in time. We're giving to other than self in time. You know what I mean? As long as we're doing that there, we are dead people. I ain't got nothing against Christianity. I think it's wonderful for them. But I ain't Roman, and I ain't Greek. And I ain't just tell all the students in the university. You know, you doubt them. Doubt them, my boy. You don't doubt them. Doubt them. No, you're accused of all the Jews. You're accused? Give me what? No, we ain't Greek. You know what I'm saying? They need you and me to cling on to them, to give them life. Because whatever it is, we bring excitement to it. We brought excitement to the church. You know what they tell me, there is a river, there is a river. Yeah. Hallelujah. Can we the German Nazi is screaming the There's no individuality. There's no the Egyptian this one and the Egyptian that one. They have one God. We have 99. And we have one code of thinking, and they have 99 different codes of thinking. And they've done that because they tell me confusion for every one of us in our individual feelings about the truth. But everybody here has a right to feel the way they feel about the truth. And I might not like what takes place in the Catholic Church. It might be a little too ritualistic for me. So I become a Lutheran. I feel comfortable here. One of my son might go today, Dad, I don't like a Lutheran. He's not called to me. I want to go to spiritual Baptist. A holy name. He wants to be a Tamarine. You see what they did? They made sure they shaped something for every one of us. And if we were a little radical and we didn't join in, we became a human Israelite. We dressed like Banjo or Isaac Brothers. And we got up on the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? And we found down a new kind of doctrine. Where is Brother Green? In the blue region, like John Donald. You don't want to understand what they're saying. We want to satisfy with everything a little more radical. We call ourselves Rockwell. Now we got the Lion of Judah, the Crown of David. You know what? I took the change of language around. I had made Haile Selassie God incarnate. Haile Selassie is just killed by his own son. Overthrown by God Almighty. Haile Selassie comes on public forum and says, I am not Jesus Christ. There are videos of him saying himself, I am not Jesus Christ. I am not the Lion of Judah. Tell him the family is everything. But no, we are already in mission. We need.
Nature says we need you to work on our part to get my job done. Like I said last week, my mother said by on it. I said that the scientists are presently probing into chromosomes. Right? And they're cloning. It's a wonderful science. And now you go back to the first. The Egyptians did not get cremated because they wanted to preserve cells. That one living cell could survive to this day. Ramesses could be regenerated. I would say reincarnated too, because that cell is incarnated again. Let's regenerate. If one can live, now they had knowledge from beings that the day would come when men would be able to clone. And that they would find a mammoth like they have, and they could sell that mammoth and start to split it, and now clone the mammoth. And they would find a dinosaur, and that that dinosaur would be part bird and part reptilian, which they have, and they would be cloning. Let me add something before. Something funny happened too. The people in Italy went to shroud of Mary, the so-called shroud, they shrouded the body of Christ. And they waited for the blood instead of the ages. And they scratched a piece of blood off and they found that the blood type was AB. That's nigga blood, by the way. AB. The church was so messed up because they said they wanted to take that blood and do what? And they gonna call him Jesus Christ. It ain't funny no more. It's all right when you go into Egypt and you dig up one of our ancestors and tear open sarcophagus or new arms, as we call them, tear open sarcophagus and bring inside men and women and men out songs and voices and this and that. It's all right for you to desecrate our family. They're already our ancestors, our God. It's okay. Or it's only that we're going to come from that blood. Jesus, you know what they did? They got together and all these people made a national statement that the child serving is not true. Now they said it's proven beyond a shadow of doubt. They put the best forensic science on it. It only goes back to the year 13500. And as the fabrication had got on television, he showed exactly how it was done. He made one, and that was it. He's like, don't touch our Jesus.
The validity of the Shroud of Turin has been the subject of debate since it was first displayed in Europe in the 14th century. Now the science of DNA analysis has fueled the controversy anew. An explosive new book claims to prove the authenticity of the Shroud of Turin. Does the Shroud hold the holy image of Jesus, or is it a fake? The work of an inspired but very human artist.
I would say that the image on the Shroud is very much authentic. It's an authentic painting of the medieval days.
Dr. Walter McCrone is a respected forensic scientist and director emeritus of the McCrone Research Institute. He was also a member of the 1978 Shroud research team, and his studies have been lauded by the scientific community. Dr. McCrone examined 32 samples lifted from the Shroud. This is an actual fiber from a supposed blood stain on the Shroud, magnified 400 times.
This in particular is from the Lance wound in the side.
He identified these tiny red spots as clusters of pigment particles. In other words, paint, not blood.
Each one of those groups are about 100 individual red ochre and vermilion particles. I can't think of any two things that look more different when applied to a fiber, especially, than blood and this red ochre paint.
To settle the matter once and for all, the church in Turin, Italy authorized carbon-14 tests to scientifically nail down the age of the Shroud. In 1988, a 7-centimeter piece of the precious cloth was cut away. Carefully sealed in stainless steel canisters, the pieces of Shroud were sent to three different labs. All three labs agreed. The Shroud was from the 14th century, not the time of Christ. This confirmed McCrone's conclusion that the Shroud was painted in 1355.
I just think I know that is. It's a big thing. But
Egyptians knew back then that the day would come when men would be cooling. And all they had to do is to preserve oneself. And they knew that someone would open that tomb, find that body, and be fascinated with the possibility of cooling a dead pharaoh or a festival to bring him back. You know, the trick is, this is the way your gods are coming back. Man thinks he's fooling the ancient Egyptians by going in and rolling. They're letting them find, they let Carter find the tomb of this punk stumble. They're letting them have all these wounds to suffer right at the year 2000. They're finding wounds for dollars every day. They're opening up new ones all the time. And they now have the science to us.
Here's the word Christian. Right? Acts, what does it say? A brief one. See, Paul is the one who persuades people to be Christians. That's in Acts 26, 28. Paul converts people to Christianity. Read that part again. You put on a brief one. I just want to see what that is. The grandson of Herod the Great. Look at that. Paul was trying to convert the grandson of Herod the Great to become a Christian. Paul is the one who calls us Christians. Paul is the one who established the word Christian. Knowing that it comes from the Sanskrit Krishna. Jesus did never call himself a Christian. Let's look at the next time it pops up. 1 Peter 4, 16. Go ahead.
Yet if any man suffer a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this man.
Next place you find the word Christians is Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, that's Syria, right? And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now you got church in there and not synagogue. You got that? And taught much people. Go ahead.
And the disciples were called Christians.
Now watch this here closely, because this is important. They assembled with a church before they were called Christians. So whatever religion was in Antioch, those people called their building structures churches. And later, the people that assembled with them picked up the term Christian. If you read around that, you'll find that all in there. And Jesus said, they'll be casting you out of the synagogue, Anita. You see that? At Psalm 74, 8, they got together to destroy the synagogues. And they took us out of the synagogues, Christ said, and put us in churches. It's going to be difficult for me to convince the Negro that he is not the Goyim or the Gentile, but that in fact he is the Lord's seed, the house of Israel, the Lord's house of Israel, Judah, and that they took us out of synagogue and put us in the word church assembly. They took us away from the word tribe of Judah and make us call ourselves Christians like they did in Antioch. They took us away from obeying the laws and commandments as the law was given to Moses and try to give us new ways from expecting the Messiah, right? But they took it, say John chapter 1, verse 41, and took it, changed it, or interpreted it from Messiah to Christ, so we won't feel bad calling ourselves Christians as opposed to Messiahs or Messiah problems. You understand? In John chapter 1, verse 41, they maliciously tell you, he finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. So now you're using an interpretation when you could be calling on him by the Messiah. You follow that? They've done that purposely. And this is why we have been held back so long. But we don't know we're heirs to God's kingdom. We don't know that we are the Lord's sheep of the house of Israel, the tribe of Judah, the holy seed. And Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Bible says a name is more precious than pearls, yet men or have you call God out of his name. You don't feel bad using the German word good because you're afraid to venture down the path of learning your ancient language again. Start with the children. And let the children start having Hebrew classes in their churches. And start changing the church. You can leave the word church up there. Just let the children know that they're in a synagogue. Let them know that the laws of the scripture pertain to them. Let them know the dietary laws pertain to them. You follow? Let them know the sacraments are there. And then our Shabbat is on Saturday. Not that we worship the sun like the Babylonians or the Greeks or the Romans or the Egyptians and have you on worshiping on Sunday. Sunday is the day to assemble, but the Shabbat, these are our laws. If you say you follow Jesus, then you follow the laws of Jesus. And you go through the scriptures and find out, did Jesus keep the Shabbat? Yes. You think he did it on Sunday? No. Did Jesus keep Paul? No. Did Jesus keep Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Pesach? Yes. Did Jesus have a Bereft Milah, circumcision? Yes. So how are you saying that Jesus makes the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to follow but by me, but then you don't follow his way. If he is the way, then he is the way we should do things. He is the way we should eat. He is the way we should pray. He is the way we should speak. He is the way we should adhere to the laws. He says, St. John chapter 1, verse 17, the law came from Moses. But grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. But the problem happens is, everything I said after Moses or Moshe becomes grace, truth, Jesus Christ. It's all Gentile language, all Greek. And the Bible tells you the first Gentile is right in the Bible. So then the first ethnos. So then the first what? Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Then the first heathen. You look up there, heathen, you get Goyim again, Gentile. And these heathens or Goyim, like Paul, imagine a vain thing. They imagine themselves as a part of the seed of Israel when they're not. And Jesus said, I know y'all who are dressing like Jews, who are praying like Jews, who are holding the offices of Jews, calling yourselves Pharisees and Sanhedrin. I know who y'all are. Y'all are mixed. Y'all are guilty of the venom of the devil is in your blood. You are mixed with Romans, with Edomites. You're mixed with Canaanites. You're not us. That's why he said, I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Jews that are not. He called it blasphemy. He called them the synagogues of Satan. He told you, but in the latter days, I will make them bow down to you just to show you that I love you. Mm-hmm. When you put back on your God, Isaiah 52, turn to Isaiah 52, and let's get the instructions of God. Awake, awake, twice, right? Put on thy strength, O Zion. Zion means the new Jerusalem or the new Judahites coming. The children of Zion. It's Zion. Right? What does it say? Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful gospel, the dress of the priesthood in the books of the scriptures. Go ahead. O Jerusalem, go ahead. Holy City. But henceforth, from a certain point on, no more heathens or Gentiles, uncircumcised shall come into you, and the unclean. Those people who eat unclean things, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, who violate the dietary law and have defiled themselves and become the filth or the beast because they eat like beasts, according to the Talmud. Go ahead and talk to me. Get the dirt off you. Come on out the grave. Wake up, mommy. Get up out the grave, old Jerusalem. Take off that slavery chain around your neck and your grave. Oh, captain of God. Now take you back to Genesis chapter 15, where it speaks about your bondage. the bondage of the law, sheep of the house of Israel, the tribe of Judah, under the Amorites, not under the Mizraimites or Egyptians. Your bondage, 400 years. The previous bondage of our brothers was 430 years in Egypt. Talk to me. Go ahead, read on.
But thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves to the house.
Stop. You know why I said sold yourselves? Because it was Arab Negro converts that was in Zanzibar. That's why in Arabic, the word for nigger is Zinji. Zinji means a person of Zanzibar. It tells you right there. Those Arab niggers converted to a white version of Islam are the ones that sold you. It was those devils who brought you. But you know who sold you? Look it up. I put it in the book. I showed you their faces. Two most prominent slave traders were black Arabs. And right today, right now, in the year 2002, niggers in Sudan are selling niggers. So ain't nothing new, y'all. Come on, let's go back to verse 3. That's right. You can't buy your way into freedom, nigger. Stop trying to get jobs out there working for white folks, thinking that you get a good job working with a white man, that you are liberated, that you are free because you can socialize with him, but you can hang out with him and go to his party and act like him and dress like him and walk like him and talk like him and eat like him and act a fool, as the Bible says. Nigga, stop fooling yourself. You cannot buy your freedom. You got to be redeemed. When you look up the word redeemed, you come back to that same word, reclaimed, like a pawn ticket. You understand? Where we at? That's there. Four.
For thus saith the Lord God,
Yahweh Elohim,
my people is now four times in Egypt, to the Lord, and the Assyrians were oppressed in the house.
You see that?
I
he said another time we went down into Egypt, my people, and we were oppressed by the Assyrians. Why they say Assyrians? Because the Assyrians, right, were mixed in, our ancient brothers, the Phoenicians, mixed in with the Canaanites. The Mesopotamians mixed in with the Canaanites. The Sumerians mixed in with the Canaanites. The Chaldeans mixed in with the Canaanites. The children of Israel mixed in with the Canaanites. The Canaanites are the seed of the serpent, the devil. And he mixes his seed by injecting himself into your bloodline. It's like a snake that bites you. It's the same thing you do when you get a hickey from a Canaanite. When you allow them to insert themselves into you and spit their venom into your bloodline and breathe poison genes. Black devils. Because they have so much of devil's venom in them that they work on behalf of white folks against their own kind. The original people of Assyria or Ashur were Negroes like everybody in Noah's family and queer Noah. You don't have no birth record of Caucasian. They can't even tell you their birth record. They can't tell you where they came from. They take you back to wolves and gnomes and leprechauns and mythological creatures from the sky called the Olympians. But they cannot give you a record. So they give you a record, they go back to the Neanderthal caves of Europe where they were walking around on all fours and eating flesh raw and even eating each other. And they still are counted to this day. Every year, at least one Caucasian is caught eating somebody. You follow? That's the devil seed. Mixing in with the devil. Because you can't liberate yourself by getting in with the devil. It means you're walking around in a zombie state. You're in a sleep state. You're under the spell of Leviathan. What is Leviathan? In the Bible, Leviathan is a dragon, a big sea creature. That old dragon called the devil or Satan that deceived the whole world. And the Edomites or Orientals are in with the brotherhood of Satan. They're all the same family. You have to separate the sheep from the goat, Christ said. You have to separate the ones who are in the image of God. What do I mean by that? Then in Daniel 9, when they speak of the Ancient of Days, they give you a description, and they said, hair like wool and white as snow. Now, Muslims and a lot of other theologians will say that Melchizedek. They don't have any proof for that. They just say it. The Ancient of Days would have to be the Alpha. The first. You understand? And the only other person that refers to himself as the Alpha and Omega is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus became known as the visible image of the invisible God. When you see me, he said, you see the Father. So now, in Daniel, the Ancient of Days would be symbolic of them to Christians and Jews as God. Sitting on his throne. Anybody got that? Come on the screen. Go ahead. I behold, till thrones were cast down. I mean, all other authority, all other power was cast down. Go ahead. And the Ancient of Days, the oldest one, the Alpha, the Ali, go ahead, did sit, whose garments were, that's why Isaiah 52 says you put back on your beautiful garments. Go ahead. And the hair, and the hair of his head, not the fur of his head. I'm saying that because dogs and lions and gorillas and other creatures have fur. They may tell you it's hair because they control the media, but it's fur. Like a fur coat. Go ahead.
His robe was like a fiery flame.
Go ahead.
And his jewels as burning fire.
And that takes you back to Ezekiel. When it talks about these gods coming from heaven. With the wheels of Ezekiel. Wheels within wheels. You understand? They're describing what they call God. Then when you go through Revelation, chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, you're going to get Jesus' description. Him. And Jesus' description is going to be the same as his father, the Ancient of Days. You ready? It says, his head and his hair were white like wool. Right? As white as snow. Some Christian theologians say that means it was bright, illustrious, and glowing. No, because it's out there for the transfiguration, and they give you the word for his body was lit up and glued. That's not what it means. If he was crucified between 33 and 32 and 33, his hair wouldn't be white as snow. Unless you want to say this to be 120, and we can talk about that. But you don't want to go there, so let's leave it where you stay, wherever your knowledge takes you. You follow? And his eyes were like flames of fire. Sound like that same throne. And his feet like fine grass, smooth, clean, no blemishes in his skin. You follow? Go ahead.
As if it burned in a furnace,
and his voice was the sound of many waters. Jesus was in the image of his father. Daniel is describing the ancient one, the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus is described in Revelation the Alpha and Omega, but also God is describing someone you can see of the invisible God, the one who was invisible who took on form. Word became flesh. Go ahead, what do you got there? Lamentations 5:10, read it. It says, our skin was black, light, and oven because of a terrible famine. But the word oven there and the word furnace there is the same word. So it's telling you his skin was black, as if they was burnt in an oven. Abishet in Songs of Solomon, while I'm having to confront with the prejudice, mixed blood Israelites, Because the Israelites had mixed in with the Canaanites and became like us. Mixed blood. And we started looking at dark-skinned people like this sister here as less than us. Started looking for light-skinned people as better than us. You understand? Well, back in Israel, because of David marrying a Hittite, a Canaanite woman, and corrupting his seed, Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, a woman has to stand up to the children of the women in Jerusalem, a woman of the tribe of Judah, of the black seed to Adonijah, who kept themselves pure and black. And she had to tell them what the Songs of Solomon. I am black, but beautiful, comely. I'm black, sisters, but I'm beautiful and black. Oh, you daughters of, oh, you curtains of, all you women that hide behind Solomon's curtains in his bedroom, all you mulattoes laid up in there, he stepped in and said, I'm black and beautiful, y'all. Like the text of Kedar, I kept my seed as pure as Kedar. And you look up the word Kedar in the Bible and you get black skin. So don't look upon me as if I'm not beautiful, because I'm beautiful because the sun touched me. And I can stand in the sun and don't get melanoma. I can go out in the sun and not have to worry about rosacea. I ain't got to worry about getting cancer because God has touched me with his sun. Where's that? Song of Solomon. Go ahead.
One time.
I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Anybody know the curtains in the temple of Solomon was black? Black velvet like they put around the Kaaba, which has the same meaning. Go ahead.
Look not
upon that. Don't be looking at me and saying, huh, look at her, she's black and ugly. Go ahead.
Because I am black.
That's right, go ahead.
Because the sun has looked upon
me. I think the white man got his story of Cinderella out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ugly one. And we get the ugly duckling out there. You know, all those little stories that have passed on to you as a child, you know, it's stuck in your head. But God also always has a remedy and a cure. Because inside that little story of fairy tale, there's another fairy tale too. And in the midst of it, while they try to make Jesus look white, they can't help but add the word lamb. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. See how they did that? That's Revelation. They said, but the word lamb is there. Christ said, I separate the sheep from the lamb. You know what I'm saying? He said, all nations shall hate you for my sake. Ain't nobody on the planet hated like black folks. Everybody hates us for nothing. Most of them already had to restaurant, they turn their nose up to you. They don't know you. Reverend Price said, one drop of black blood means you're mixed. One drop of black blood means you're mixed. That's power. That's the power. If I get one drop of my blood in you, you're mixed. Tell them, half you white folks who think you white or not. Happy y'all mulattoes. You might as well go on and bear witness with your nigga and work your way on into Jesus. Come on, let's get back to Isaiah 52. Finish this out. But they told us we were in Egypt for 4 times. That was our exodus for 430 years. Now we have another one that we're in now in Genesis chapter 15. That's 400 years. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And you'll see that we're in slavery to Amorites now. And I say we started what? In the 1600s.
Right.
And you had 16 months. Now add on your 400 years. 30 years steps is mentioned in Revelation. But 30 is only half of the hour. Only half of the hour. Then you have another 30 to go. And we wasn't ready. We were at the half mark, the so-called 30 years, or 30, it says 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Go ahead, let me go. Where we at?
Isaiah 52.
Now, therefore,
what do I have here?
Look at this. What do I hear? Look at these people.
I got those people out of bondage in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. What do I have here? Look at this. Go ahead.
That my people were taken away for naught.
That my people were taken away for naught. Kidnapped for nothing.
Right.
See, check this out. This here says that my people will be taken. This here says my people will be sold for a price in Isaiah 52. which is our body, do it in now. Go ahead, talk to me. Those that rule them make them to howl, make you to suffer, make you to cry. Why? Why? Because every time we turn around, we're looking at some Rodney King situation, or Mega Evans, or Dr. King, or Malcolm X, or what's the other fella? Diallo, and the other, the Haitian boy. What's his name? We're always watching white folks kill our kids. Watching them hang us, burn us. White man in the same week that he brought a black man to death. That's why we're howling. That's why we're crying. That's why we're lamenting. But you know what we're not doing? We're not turning to our God.
Right.
We're turning to Greek God and Roman God and calling ourselves Christians and calling ourselves Muslims and calling ourselves everything but what God calls us, his people. The Lord sheep of the house of Israel, Jesus was looking for us and couldn't find us. But when he finally got to Nazareth amongst black people, they're the ones that chased him and threw stones at him. He said, I came to my own home to teach me not. But that's what happened when we take this message into the black neighborhood. We take this message into the black neighborhood that you are not Gentiles. That you are the seed of Judah. That you are a holy seed. That you are not the devil. Black people are going to get mad. They're going to say, you are not Christian. That's something Paul said. They love old white Paul. Roman Lala Paul, I should say. They love old deceiving Peter. And black folks are going to go up against you, and they'll deliver you into the hands of white folks and think they're doing God's work. With a smile on their face, they'll say, you in. Betray you, who have given themselves over to the Roman doctrine. And those same blacks were betraying their own families in this. During Jesus' time, they sought to kill him. Jason, stoned, he had to run through the crowd to get away from him at certain points because they wanted to kill him because he was black. That's what Jesus said. He said, and you know me, you know who I am. You know I'm from Abraham's seed. Abraham was a black man, no doubt about it. Archaeologists have confirmed it. Jesus is a black man, a Negro, not no Arab, not no Middle Eastern, a Negro with nappy hair. Confirmed now, no more doubt. That's why they hated him. As the comedian said, they don't see a murder. After they spent a whole year trying to say, well, he got beat up as a kid. He had psychological problems. He's insane. He's been abused.
Right.
Then he goes to death row and stays there for 25 days.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Black man goes in, he's found guilty, and right away. I said, ain't God, we'll be howling. We'll be crying, screaming out, because we don't get no justice. It's just us, me, just us white folks.
Right.
And it's going to be hard for us to get in there and get our people out. It's going to be hard to go down in the ghetto because they think they're ethnic. They're calling themselves ethnic. They don't even know ethnic means Gentile or Goyim in our language. You don't want your language Hebrew. You don't want your language Arabic. You want to speak the devil's language and you get trapped in his words. And you get long rods coming out of the mouth of the dragon that's talking about Paul, Titus, and Cyrene. And as Peter and a couple of other ones followed him, Barnabas, he wouldn't follow him. James, Jesus' brother, he wouldn't follow Paul. And when they said, come on, Paul, let's go back to Jerusalem and go before Jesus' beloved, John, son of Zebedee, Paul ran and set up his own church. And you're in that church. And they're driving you out of the synagogue and a bunch of people called Jebusites, calling themselves Jews, are now in our synagogue, reading our Tanakh, keeping our rituals. And we wonder why we're doing so bad, so we turn our face from our God. And we're starting to worship Baal and Adonis and other gods. This we use new name. We use the word Christ. Christos from Krishna. But interpreted name instead of Messiah. They said we found the Messiah. So when they found him, they knew him as the
Messiah.
But they interpreted later to Christ. And then gave us the name Christian. So we won't know who we are. So now we tell a black man, you ain't no Gentile. White folks are Gentiles. Orientals are Gentiles. You ain't no Gentile. You are the tribe of Judah. You're an Israelite. You're an Ishmaelite. You're a Midianite. through the blood of God, the seed of the woman from Eve, not Cain, who defected his seed. Then they say, we had a conversation last night about how the mark of Cain, some white folks say, the mark of Cain means black people.
Right.
That's because they don't know the language. The word is up. The word up means a mark as a token of time.
Right.
Not a bruise, not a skin complexion, idiot. Because they're imagining vain things. They see themselves in power and not in subjection to Christ. They're so busy being teachers to watch the word channel and Jesus' name going to come up until they end with prayer.
Yes.
Most of us talk about economics and money and how to build economics and money. They're not the very now that they throw a verse out of the hall.
Because
they can't sit up there and go through the Bible word by word from Matthew and break it down from the Hebrew and show you who they are. They don't even know Matthew's real name. They don't know James' real name. Let alone Jesus' real name, Yeshua. And you can tell them, Jesus' name is Yeshua. You can look it up and they'll still say Jesus. You can say the word Messiah is Messiah. Messiah. Say it real slow for the tape.
Messiah.
And they'll still use the Hindu word Krishna, Christ. And wonder why we're suffering. Yeah, we're going to howl. Let's go back to Isaiah. Those that rule over them make them to howl. Now I want somebody to go to verse 13. Ready? Now listen to the number, because the children of Israel was before time out of up in Egypt 430 years. And everybody in the world knows they were in the bondage under the Egyptians.
Right.
Now, let's see what this one is talking about. It says, and he said unto Abram, not Abraham. He wasn't talking to him as an Israelite or Hebrew prophet. This is before all that. Are you with me?
Yes.
He says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed, your zera, your blood, your offspring, your future, right, shall be a stranger in a land that is not
theirs,
and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years, not 430. You understand? Now we already read in Isaiah 52 that in this bondage you were sold and you were taken into bondage. But in the bondage in Exodus, you walked in under your own free will. You went in under Joseph. You understand that? And you even had your own land, Goshen, until Pharaoh changed. Number 14 of Genesis chapter 15, verse 14. And also that nation. Click on that. That Goyim, Goyim, that Gentile, that heathen nation, it's not using the Hebrew word am there. The Hebrew word generally associated with nation of Israel is am. You hear me?
Yeah.
This one tells you that these are Goyims. The Egyptians wasn't Goyims, you know, because Mizraim was one of Noah's sons. They were the blood of Noah. See it? That's your Bible. But if you can't go into the language, you can't see the Hebrew or the Aramaic or the Syriac that God was supposed to speak in, you're getting into English and you're into the devil, the Gentile's language, and he can deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. He's going to deceive the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
They got scales and fangs and eat flesh raw or rare.
Mm-hmm.
They call them right in there, Goyims, a heathen Gentile nation in the Strong's Concordance under old 1471. Goyim, get it right out here. Where we at? It says, and also that Goyim, those heathens, now we're going to find out where, what? Whom they shall serve, will I judge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So judge not that she
be judged.
We ain't got to worry about winning a revolution. We ain't got to worry about no riots. God is already judging them. Go to Revelation 17 and 18 in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I want one person to go there. I want to see something. I want you to come.
September.
You got that? And I want you to see the 11 now. See the 11?
Yes.
You see the two 11 standing there?
Yes.
Keep that in your mind. Talk to me. And I saw another angel and what?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Having a great
was an angel. That's why the psalmist couldn't tell us ahead of time that it was coming. Usually they warn you and they said, we've been bought, we've been charted. They got millions of dollars of stuff up there. But they didn't see that. That big old meteorite that came in there, the meteorite down the sky and lighting up. Because that Bible didn't tell us who that really was. That was God's angel coming. They're giving us warnings here. 9/11. You got the two number ones up there? Like the two towers standing there? Talk to me. Liz. And he cried. His angel cried with a loud voice. Or a strong voice. Say what? Stop. I want to take the time. And he cried mighty with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great. Now I want you to see this. This is deep. Say the next one. Look at me here. Say it.
It is falling.
Say it again. Look at the number 11.
Yeah, it's not falling.
And what?
When he said, two towers.
It is falling.
And two towers. Now we're scared. We don't know where to go. We can't go.